As we wrap up 2025, one thing's clear. Uncertainty isn't temporary. It's the world we live in now. Noble Gold Investments helps Americans protect what they've built with real gold and silver, holding value when everything else feels uncertain. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and take your first step toward a safe future. This holiday season, when you open up a qualified account, you'll receive 10 one-ounce commemorative silver holiday coins. Visit Noble Gold today.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is Pucks and Seven with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiash.
All 32 teams want to be the last two standing in the NHL, and every fan wants to at some point, even if their teams are not in the final, get to that cup final to see the excitement that's to come. Two sleeps, two more to go until game one of the Stanley Cup final between the Vegas Golden Knights and the Florida Panthers. And just wait for the predictions. We're going to get to these predictions in a second. Just wait for the predictions that we both have. We've agreed to disagree a few times on this podcast, but this one's pretty intense.
Not very often. No. We're usually more aligned than not.
Yeah,
but
we're not
in this particular, we are not.
So not aligned.
Interesting conversation to be had.
Yeah. Pucks and Seven, Ryan Payton, Victoria Matiash. Follow us on Twitter at Ryan and Payton, at Victoria Matiash. Catch Vic doing great work as always. Major news talk station in Toronto and ESPN.com, among other things to do with hockey. I host on Sirius XM, NHL Network Radio Channel 9, won the hot stove on the weekend, right for the Hockey Writers and the Seattle Kraken. Next segment, we'll get into all the coaching, but kind of breaking news just before we actually did this quickly. Kyle Dubas has been named the president of hockey operations, Vic, with the Pittsburgh Penguins. So not a GM, but the president of hockey operations.
So maybe a minor surprise, because I think most of us were expecting him to be named the general manager. We're going to get into this a little bit more again in the second half, where we're also going to talk a little Andrew Burnett and a little Treliving and the new coach with the Washington Capitals. We're going to get to all of that. But first, let's talk about the action that is happening on the ice. Well, not for a few days now. We got quite a break. This was quite a recess between game six between the Vegas Golden Knights and the Dallas Stars. And there's a bit of a gap. I know it bothers some people. It doesn't bother me as much just because it has been so frenetic. This playoff run has been bang, 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 bang since April. So to me, just to take a breather and enjoy this final series, I don't mind. Maybe not so many nights off. This feels a little excessive. We're having this discussion on Thursday. We still have a couple of days and then some until the Saturday night, until, of course, the Florida Panthers will meet up with the, I was going to say Dallas Stars, no Victoria, with the Vegas Golden Knights, because the Dallas Stars are done.
Yeah.
So we did watch one of the more depressing, I would say, game sixes, not only of this playoff run, but in recent history.
Oh,
it wasn't a very exciting game at all. And I usually were texting or like blah after like the first 10 minutes.
No contest at all. Yeah.
It was impressive. My takeaway from that was, From second one, literally the second they dropped the puck, the Vegas Golden Knights were playing this hockey game dialed up to 11, and the Dallas Stars had absolutely zero left in the tank.
This was also a game where Vegas went in saying, okay, we were up 3-0. They won game four. We're up 3-1. They won game five. We're not going on with this.
It's over.
So the mentality was, okay, fine. We gave them two. It's not like Vegas played. Vegas didn't play badly. I think when we did this podcast last, Vegas didn't play badly in either four or five. One of the two games, they didn't play that badly. Not that they played badly all series, but so in game six, enough's enough. And the bottom six is phenomenal. They did what they did. Jake Oettinger had no response whatsoever. First time he's given up six all season long. And he always bounces back, right? Now, this was not a bounce back game because they won the game before game five to make it a game six. But he did not look good. And you're right. Just the mindset on the ice that you could see in every single shift by the Vegas Golden Knights, they just exuded dominance the whole way through. And this thing was done after, as you said, like 10 minutes. It was over. Dallas had no chance in coming back. Jamie Bennett, the great line after. He said, I think he was 12 minutes and change. He was a minus something on the ice. But he said, it's tough to go out like that. Tough to go out in that 6-0 fashion. And I get it. You're 2 wins away from getting to the Stanley Cup. You don't, or final, you don't want to go out in a 6-0 shutout, but it happened. But Vegas, to me, showed why they are, Florida's deep, we'll get to that in a second, but why they're the deepest team. And they've been the deepest team in this postseason since game one.
To me, it almost looked like Vegas was playing on fast forward that first 10 minutes. Like they were almost just playing in, again, in another gear. No. And even when it was only 2-0, it already felt very over, even though 2-0, especially in the first period, is not an easy, you know, hill to climb, but it's definitely beatable. And we've seen it many, 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 many times, but it just felt already done in this one. I also, this is a parallel that I'll draw with it. It's almost if you're in a race as a cyclist and it's a hilly course, right? And this is the Dallas Stars. They're down 3-0, 3-0 going into game four. And they have this big hill to get over, and they're cycling, they're cycling, and they make it, and you're exhilarated, but you're more tired emotionally, mentally, physically than you were before you climb that hill. Then you have hill number two. You just don't feel the same. Maybe you clear it, but then you feel exhilarated. We're still in this. And then you come up to hill number three and you just can't, it's done. There's nothing left in the tank. I don't even think it was an issue of physically being spent. These are top tier athletes.
I think
it was more the mental aspect of it and the emotional. I think they laid it all out there in games four and five.
Yep.
And there's just, it was done. And the Jamie Benn drama as well, that's not going to help there. I think the team was worried about their captain, how he felt. I think he was stressed out. So I just think there was a lot going on there. And they were done. They were spent. It was over.
You talk about the hills and then 3-0 in 14 minutes of the first. That's another hill. You think of that game, we just can't do it. So I'm with you with that. It just didn't happen. Anyway, Vegas moves on. Dallas is done. So the question now becomes, of all teams that end their season and go to the offseason, what does the future hold for Dallas? We'll hear from Joe Pavelski right now. He had a great postseason, and he's doing it at, what, 38? I think he's 38, something like that, late 30s. Here is Joe when talking about his future next season with Dallas, whomever, talking about playing in 23-24.
Playing for many more years in your 40s, or hard to say?
We'll see. Who knows? We'll see. There were stretches in this playoffs where it, you know, got a little bit tough just with the fall and stuff, but it was always awesome to feel when game time came, when I stepped into that rink. It was, you know, any aches or pains, everything kind of just melted away, and it was very fun to be around the rink and playing in these situations, these games, and, you know, in that atmosphere with the crowds, and I just really enjoyed it.
That's a hockey player who is ready to play again right now.
He needs
a couple of, so there isn't, he is 38 years old. He has 1 year remaining on his contract with Dallas. I think there's zero question that he's coming back. And that's going to be nice to see again, that top line with Rupe Hintz and Jason Robertson and Joe Pavelski. We know everybody's signed. All the important figures, I would argue, up front and on the back end are signed at least through next year for the Dallas Stars. So this current iteration of the Dallas Stars is going to be very similar to what we're seeing. There's going to be a couple of new bodies in there. Jim Neal has a couple of signings to think about, unrestricted free agency and all the rest of it. But this is what we saw in the playoffs. We're going to basically see again. But it was nice to hear him at age 38. The hunger is there. Never mind talking about coming back next year. This already sounds like somebody who's already looking ahead to playing into his 40s. Mm-hmm. Like very few do. But if anybody can, I would definitely say that Joe is among that elite group.
And he at the age is one thing, 38, but at 3.5 mil for next season. That's nothing. Right?
That's a bargoon,
even for a veteran, ancient kind of guy. But you're right. You got Ben locked up for through 24-25. Sagan through 26-27. Hintz, he's all the way down like through 2030, I think, something like that. Robertson's there as well. Great season. Not the best postseason. He's only 23. And you've got Mason Marchment too. The thing that's interesting now going forward is what do you do with some of the UFAs? For example, Max Domi, that's intriguing for me. Max has gone to so many different teams. Max, I thought, did very well in Dallas. He did.
6 and 8 years. He's played for 6 different teams in 8
years. Yeah. And so you look at it in 2 ways. One, why can't he stay with one team for an extended amount of time? Or 2, that means, well, if you're not having the best season, so many other teams want you, right? Dallas wanted him, and I thought he did well. It's going to be intriguing for me where he's going to go. There's other names. Luke Glendening's a UFA. You said on the back end that most of them are there, which is fine. Ryan Suter, the fact that he's still going at 38, I don't know. He's got that massive contract. Not a huge amount, 3.65, but still. Anyway, Max Domi, to me, keep an eye on him.
What's interesting, too, just get ready for a real, we've already enjoyed a little bit of the preview of a coming out party this season. Wyatt Johnson is going to go bananas next year.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's still on his entry level deal. He's not even making 900K.
For two more years. 2 more years.
Actually, he's allowing, because he's going to make 10 times that much afterwards. So for now, the Dallas Stars should enjoy the bargain they have up front as well, especially when they're paying Tyler Seguin almost $10 million a year. Yep. Tyler Seguin is a good, solid hockey player. He's good. You know, he's bringing that veteran experience.
Not for that price.
Not for $10 million
no
bucks a year.
No chance.
So it's always interesting to me that just because of the way that contracts are structured, especially when you get to the entry level and then afterwards, that a better player on that team, and I think Tyler Seguin would admit that as well, with such a bright future, is making literally less than a tenth of what Tyler Seguin is. But hey, that's hockey. That's how the contracts are structured. And that's great for the Dallas Stars because it does give them a little bit more flexibility. It's the same story with Thomas Harley on the blue line. He's going to be a full-timer next year, and he's making pennies on the dollar as, you know, in compared to other players. So
there's some holes that need to be filled. Jim Nill will do that, I'm sure. He's one of the best doing that. You mentioned Seguin. So Seguin and Ben, those two contracts will take up about 23.2% of the salary cap for next season. Not like Toronto, where you've got 4 or 5 taking up 250% of the salary cap space. You mentioned Wyatt Johnston, incredible. Also, too, Jake Oettinger, he's only 24. I think this postseason run for him, he was good, not very good against Vegas. Maybe Vegas was better, but I didn't see what we saw in him the first 2 rounds. But he's got a ways to go, but I think this is a massive learning thing for him.
I think he played too much in the regular season. And no disrespect to Scotty Wedgwood, who again is signed for 1 more year at $1 million, so nothing.
No.
I think they need to bring in somewhere else or just actually give Scotty Wedgwood more opportunities.
Right.
By the time, I don't have the exact number in front of me, but Oettinger played upwards of 80 games when you added the postseason to the regular season.
I've got it. 81.
Okay, so there you go. Yep. So upwards of 80.
Right on.
That's too much. Yep. I think for any goaltender, and I know he's 24 and he's as fit as can be.
But
mentally,
it's a goalie.
Right. Yeah. Mentally, this you're carrying such a massive load and they're just not built the same way and they don't train the same way. And we've learned that tandems do work. Don't force a goaltender to play 70 games in a regular season. It doesn't make any sense. And I know he didn't play 70, but he played a ton.
Yeah.
So bring somebody else in. So now we're looking at not a 50-32 split, but something more akin to that, 55 games, something around that. Even I would go even lower, but anyway. And then you have him fresher because I think he burnt out as well. He's excellent. He's an excellent goaltender, but I think he burnt out. So
no, I agree. That's a lot of hockey. 62 in the season, 19 in the postseason. The
numbers,
that's a ton. Yeah,
that's a ton of hockey.
Yeah. He had 7 in the postseason last year. It went to 7 games, a 1.81 goals against. He was very good, but they lost in 7. Okay, so we're down to 2. Vegas and the Florida Panthers. The Florida Panthers it'll be 10 days between hockey games. There's 2 things about sweeping a team in the Eastern Conference Final, which they did, and seeing the Western Conference Final go 6. Number 1 is you sweep them in 4 and you're done. That's great. Second thing is if the other series goes longer, you wait longer between games. It'll be 10. I don't think there's going to be much rust. I think these guys are just playing on a different level. But at the same time, that's going to be a bit of a discussion going into game 1.
If you give me the opportunity, or I have the choice of my team, essentially any sport, especially one where you're working as hard in that sense as hockey, you're not standing around in a field like a baseball player is. You give me the opportunity to rest my players this time of year, I'm taking it. I will take the 10 days off over the 2 nights off any day of the week. I will risk the rust over and over and over again because these guys want to win this so bad. They are supercharged in their mind. I would fully expect they're going to need a period or so, maybe half a period to warm back up to it because it has been such a long leg. I don't know. What are they doing? Playing video games, lying on the beach, whatever it is. It's going to take them a minute. It's going to take them a minute to get back to it.
Yeah.
But then they are still going to feel better than the opposition. I know Vegas is getting a decent leg. They're getting a decent rest as well. But I think they're going to kick back into gear. They're wired that way. They want this. They're jazzed. So long as the goaltender who is and everybody's talking about he's going to benefit from rest more so than not. But is it too much? We're going to find out very quickly. And if he plays game one well, then they're going to be just fine. It's going to be tickety-boo.
I'm on the other side of that. If I would not that this is going to be an issue because I think the Panthers are going to play well. And you're right. It's going to take a little bit of time to get back into the game rhythm, not game shape. Not game shape. These guys are in great shape and they've been practicing. But I would much rather have less days off to go in than more days off. But if you're injured, to your point, then yeah, you have more time to heal.
But they're all injured, right? They're all banged up. So this is just going to help.
Yeah. If they had a choice, they would probably say maybe there'd be half and half. Half is, maybe we'll do 5 days. Maybe the 10 is a bit much, whatever it is. But Paul Maurice, I guarantee you, he has this team focused. He had them focused 9 days ago. He'll have them focused 10 days from the last game that they played.
Okay, let me ask you this then. All right. I mean, I think we both agree that having 5 or 6 days off would be the ideal situation as opposed to the two extremes, right?
Yeah.
That's just not how it rolled out, and so they didn't have a say in it. This is just what the situation. But if you're Paul Maurice, would you prefer them to have 10 days off or one?
Oh, gosh. There's no...
Right?
Comparison. Yeah, 10. Right. 10
of course.
For sure. One is ridiculous. Yeah. Anyway, if they're healthy, fine. If it's like an 82-game season, whatever. But yeah, 10, 1, 5, 6 is absolutely ideal. Do you want to do our picks?
Well, first of all, how do we think this is going to match up? How are you characterizing this series?
I'll tell you this. One of the biggest things is going to be the depth. The Panthers have been shown that they've been a deep team. Vegas, as I said off the top of this, they've been the deepest team. And I believe the stats are something like Vegas has 20 players with at least 10 points. The Panthers have 5. And you can make whatever you want about those numbers. That's fine. But that to me is pretty impressive. When you have 20 with at least 10, you don't need to rely on your top guns. In Florida's case, Matthew Tkachuk's been phenomenal. Bobrovsky's been amazing. Brandon Montour. Those three for me, forward, defense, in goal, they've been dynamite. Outside of that, they've had some great secondary actors, so to speak, secondary players that have played very well. But I just think one of the biggest factors, and maybe the Panthers can shut them down. I don't know. They've shut down 3 very good hockey teams already. Vegas's depth, to me, is going to be the key if they make it through and win that Stanley Cup. That, to me, is one big thing.
You're not wrong. I think that as much as we've been talking about Bobrovsky and Tkachuk, first and foremost, Montour's been getting a lot of attention as well. I think this series, I'm going to be watching some other players. First of all, Sam Bennett has been an absolute beast.
Yeah, he's been great. He's been great.
So he has been fantastic as well. And he's gotten some attention too. To me, I'm looking up how the Sam Reinhart-Lundell line is going to match up against some of the depth that you've just discussed that Vegas has up front in particular. First of all, William Karlsson has been an unheralded superstar.
Out of control.
In an excellent way. I don't even just mean the 10 goals. I mean, actually, I'm focused more on his defensive play than anything else. But we'll get to that in a second. I agree with you that the Vegas Golden Knights have a little bit more depth, especially on defense, but up front as well. I think there's a question in net. Right now, we're watching Sergei Bobrovsky play the best hockey of his life,
I think there's no question in that. Okay. You're talking about Vegas with Aiden Hill?
Yeah.
No question.
I'm worried. I think that matchup. So I think Vegas has the Panthers beat in almost every other aspect than two. Netminding is one.
Okay.
And je ne sais quoi is the other. It's that oomph that the Panthers have right now. They have the magic. I don't think Vegas has the same magic as this, I know this is okay. a silly conversation to have.
No.
Matthew Tkachuk is basically just, I feel like he's willing them to victory.
Right.
Almost. So, and they're getting the bounces. They have the je ne sais quoi.
Vegas doesn't need the magic. The reason why the Panthers have the magic is because they've been the lowest seed to get to the Stanley Cup final in the last 25 years, something like that. And they've been on this
run.
No,
the Kings did. The Kings did, didn't they?
No, the lowest seed.
Oh,
lowest
sorry.
Seeded team.
Right. Yeah, okay, the not the eighth team. Seed. Right.
No,
okay.
Yeah, the lowest seeded team. They're playing with that. They're playing with that magic. You go in game five against Boston, then game six. That's the biggest difference between Vegas. I think Vegas is playing, I mean, it's no pun intended, Vegas magic, all that stuff. It all goes hand in hand. But I think Vegas has that as well. I do. I really do. But the reason why the Panthers have it is because nobody expected them to be anywhere close to a Stanley Cup final. So. And that's with all the respect to them. I know. So, hey, you mentioned the lines. You mentioned Carlson.
Yeah.
When Carlson's on the third line center for Vegas, that's huge. You got Will Carrier on the fourth line. I'm just saying, and Aiden Hill, too, I totally get Bobrovsky is out of his mind. He's been playing superb hockey. Aiden Hill is... The sample size is not as big. Totally get it. But I just think there's something with the team playing in front of him that they're playing so well. 5-on-5, Vegas is amazing. The Panthers aren't as good 5-on-5. Defensively, Vegas seems to, they don't allow as many goals.
They have the edge. Defensively,
okay.
They have the edge for sure.
Yeah.
And I think that's why Aiden Hill has played so well. Take nothing away. He's been good enough. But sometimes we have to recognize the player has just been good enough. I mean,
we saw that with
Colorado last year, right?
Right.
He's got the job done. He deserves all the flowers in the world for that, for getting the job done. But if you're matching up the goaltenders, I'm going to take Bob right here, right now. I'm not taking him in February. I'm probably not taking him next October, but I'm taking him right now.
Yeah, and I would agree. I would take Sergei Bobrovsky right now. I would.
Okay, so who do you got?
This is going to, I just can't wait. Here we go. Vegas in five.
In five.
Vegas in five.
Vegas in five.
And I've already told you why. The depth is going to be big. Nobody will believe this. Probably nobody will pick it. But I thought, why not? I think the Panthers bubble is going to burst a bit. I really do. I think this.
Oh, you think the Panthers bubble is going to burst a lot?
I do. Well, for the first time. Yeah, for the first time this postseason. Think Vegas. Yeah, so I'm going to say
in five. So Florida has beat a historically amazing team in the Boston Bruins. And then they got by the Maple Leafs in five. And then they swept the Carolina Hurricanes, who many picked to win the Stanley Cup by the end of it, back at the start of the season. And now you think they're only going to win one of five hockey games. I'm just clarifying.
Yep. And remember one thing. How many games went into overtime? How many games have the Panthers played that have gone to OT? And how many of those games could have gone the other way?
Your reasoning is solid.
I'm just going to say that.
I don't agree with you, but your reasoning is solid.
I know you don't. Who do you have?
I got the Panthers in seven.
Panthers in seven, going the distance. Okay.
I do. I haven't picked them yet a single round, and they've shamed me each and every time. So I'm taking my medicine, and I'm jumping on the Tkachuk Bob bandwagon. I am.
Okay.
Or I should call it the Maurice bandwagon as well. I'm super impressed. So whenever you pick a series in seven, you're basically calling it a coin toss. Somebody's going to win game seven, right?
Yes.
It could go either way. I do believe this could go either way. For all the reasons you outlined, I think the Vegas does have the depth, especially their blue line. They just, the way they clog up that slot, they just let very little through. So it being a coin toss, I'm going to go with the magic, like we mentioned earlier. I'm going to go with the je ne sais quoi. I just think it's been such a great story, and it's going to be a great story. It's wishful thinking. I want it to go seven. I don't care who wins.
Yeah.
I want it to go seven because I really enjoyed the hockey, and I want two more weeks of some fun before we get to the draft and the summertime and all the rest of it.
Okay, completely on opposite ends of the spectrum.
Ryan Payton, five, Vegas in five,
enough.
And
hey,
Victoria Maniash, Panthers in seven.
Okay, Conn Smythe, for both teams, whoever wins, starting with you, Vegas, if they win Conn Smythe, and what do you think if the Panthers do?
Okay, so I'm going to go to the Panthers first. If the Panthers win,
it
has to be Bob. And I know Tkachuk is going to be discussed, but unless Matthew Tkachuk scores a game-winning goal every single game.
I agree.
If they win and they beat Vegas, it's going to be because Bobrovsky played out of his mind and he's going to be hoisting the Conn Smythe. I am going to go outside the lines if Vegas wins, but I already mentioned him earlier. William Karlsson is not going to win the Conn Smythe, but I think he should. He has been the best all around. Take nothing away from Jack Eichel, who has been fantastic. Jonathan Marchessault has also been very good. I'm taking nothing away from the rest of that team, but William Karlsson has been absolutely phenomenal both ends of the ice. He's been their best defensive forward. He's leading them in scoring. He's done all of it. We're just giving him very little attention for it. We're starting to give him more. But if Vegas gets by the Panthers, I'm going to bet it's because William Karlsson shuts down that offense, helps to do so anyways, and contributes to the score sheet as well.
Conn Smythe is not just the final for me. It's the three rounds before as well. Jack Eichel, the obvious choice for me. If Aiden Hill was starting game one of round one and he was continuing, and he did this for three plus rounds, that could also be in the discussion. So if Vegas wins, I'll go with Jack. And if Tkachuk, I completely agree. It's Bobrovsky's to lose. If Tkachuk scores a few game-winning goals or whatever he does, I would give it to both. I really would. I'd give it to Bob. I'd give it to Tkachuk, and I'm sure they'd be both fine with it because those have been two great stories. But again, Vegas in five, just in case you didn't hear that the first time.
Vegas in five.
Thank you, Vic. I'm going to edit that out. Okay, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. A lot of off-ice news. Back to Kyle Dubas. We'll talk about Brad Tree Living, Andrew Brunette, John Hines. The list goes on and on and on. Off-ice news, off-season in the NHL. Pucks and Seven, Ryan Payne, Victoria Matiash. We'll be back.
Welcome back to Pucks and Seven with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiash.
This is Pucks and Seven. That is Ryan Payton, and I am Victoria Matiash. And we have another, I'll get this right this time. Playoff edition extravaganza.
Thank you. Was it that tough?
No, it wasn't.
So in the last podcast, you just came back and said playoff edition. And I said, hold on a second here. You've been putting in an extra word since the postseason began, and you said you'd bring it this week. So you did.
Recycled, but yeah.
It doesn't matter.
We actually looked at the playoff round or where we are in the playoff rounds in our first segment. So if you missed that part for whatever reason, head back and we talk Vegas and even the Stars a little bit, the recap, and obviously the Florida Panthers with the series starting up on Saturday. But I love this talk just as much because it's gossip. And I love gossip.
You do.
Oh, I love it.
You do.
So we're talking about what's happening off ice, and there's a lot happening off ice. It is not boring. This off season for teams that are no longer engaged in competition has not been boring at all. In only the last, I'm not going to say 24 hours, but 48, just to make sure that I get it all in there, but maybe 36 hours, we have had several hires and other different announcements. And we're going to start with one that was made about 10 minutes before you and I started recording our podcast.
Yeah.
We knew essentially, because the tea leaves were showing it, that Kyle Dubas was going to join the Pittsburgh Penguins organization in some capacity. Mm-hmm. But now we've learned exactly what that capacity is.
President of Hockey Operations, and I am not surprised whatsoever. I'm not surprised, and maybe I'm in the minority, that he's not a GM anymore. And the reason is because he wants more power. And the GM has power, but I do feel the President of Hockey Operations in most teams, it was in Toronto, that it has more power. And that was one of the turning points in the discussion with Dubas's agent and Brendan Shanahan when he essentially came back to him in that whole mess that was the soap opera, which we don't need to get into. But part of it was basically, I want more power. And they said no. Shanahan said, no, not going to happen. Out the door he goes. This is a good thing for me. Pittsburgh needed some changes. Hextall didn't work out. Brian Burke didn't work out. Those two putting together, I thought, hey, maybe. But they, to me, were oil and water, not happening. Oil and vinegar, whatever it is. So, yeah, I'm good with this. I am. And Dubas is probably going to bring in some people. This is a chance for him. And you know what? Everyone, I've already seen people today saying, well, Dubas said in his press conference in Toronto that he was going to go nowhere else but Toronto. You won't see me popping up. Things change enough. It doesn't matter. The fact is, he's now president of hockey operations. He has a fresh start. I think it's a good move for both.
But he ended up not fibbing because he's not filling in as a general manager with any other team.
Fair enough.
Technically he gets to say I was telling the truth. He wasn't interested in that position with any other team. He only wanted to fill it with Toronto, which is true. So now he's president of hockey operations, and what you say is true. He does have, of course, you have an element of more power because you're just that extra notch up on the food chain. But in addition to that, I also think it brings, and this is something that comes back to what he was talking about with his family and how this past year was really rough on them, mm-hmm. and they're tired and all this, and it's stressful. This is a position that also brings more stability. We see coaches hired and fired constantly, and general managers are not quite the same, but they're there as well. They're in and out. They're in and out. They're in and out. President of hockey operations hang out a lot longer.
Yeah.
They're not, he gets to fire a lot of other people underneath him if things do not go the right way with the Penguins first. So we're looking at 4, 5, 6, 7 maybe years in
again,
this position.
Hence the more power. Hence the more power.
Right. Yeah. And then stability and power always go hand in hand. So now he can move his family down. He's got a couple of young kids. He can move his spouse and his family down. They can go to school. They can establish themselves. They can build some sort of life. You never, I mean, you can still get fired tomorrow. Anybody in this business can get fired tomorrow, but you do have that extra element of stability. So it makes sense to me. What I wonder is, did Pittsburgh want to hire him as the GM? And this is why the conversation went on a few extra days. And maybe this was negotiated instead.
Sure.
Right? Or was this always in play? I don't think we're ever going to find out, or at least not for quite a bit period of time, or for some period of time. And bonus marks, I love this, to the Pittsburgh Penguins. I love Petty. Petty is so fun for making this announcement about 15 minutes before the Maple Leafs introduced Jim Treliving as their new general manager. Literally, 15, 20 minutes?
It was about 15, 20 minutes.
I just think that is absolutely, first of all, it's intentional. You're never going to tell me this is just when we planned on doing it.
Nope,
that's horse manure.
Not a chance.
It's awesomely petty. I applaud it. And I say, bring on more of that because it is fun.
Brad Treliving introduced officially as general manager of Toronto. And yeah, I think it was a great time, great timing that the Penguins did this. I'm with you with everything, power and stability. And it's a good situation. You know, anytime you get a chance to be on top of three class acts, Malkin, Crosby, Letang, you get a chance to be part of
who
that organization.
Who didn't garner the respect from the last group. Yeah, at least certainly Malkin didn't. That's for sure. I mean, just you hear the stories between Ron Hextall and Evgeny Malkin and the absolute poop show that was that signing last year. So I think everybody's going to be quite happy about having a young... Dubas has a reputation for players liking him.
Yep.
And we've already heard through somebody else, I have no insight here, but I heard through somebody else that he's already met with Sidney Crosby. That's obviously a good sign.
He met with him before last weekend, and last weekend was basically when Pittsburgh was giving offers to him and they were waiting on Dubas with his decision. So maybe he took the extra time to say, I don't know if I want to be the GM. How about this position? Speaking of that, Brad Treliving, Matthew Tkachuk was raving about him the other day. He said he's going to do great in Toronto. He's going to do great in that situation. We talk once or twice every few weeks still. So he was raving about him. Treliving spoke today. One of the things he did, he was non-committal, Vic, on the future of Sheldon Keefe. He basically is saying, I'm coming into this thing with a clean slate and we're going to sit down to have a chat. To me, if you're non-committal right away, that more means to me that Keith will be at some point gone before he'll stay
for next
season. But
we're hearing rumors that Shanahan wants to keep him. And I still think...
Enough about Shanahan. Shanahan needs to leave the entire organization. I understand that. Treliving needs to say, look, Shanny, I know you've got the power. I'm coming here. I'm older than... I think too, just a quick note, I think Shanahan had an issue with Dubas's age. I really do. Because I do think there was a battle of egos. And I think this young guy coming in, I know they looked like they were best of friends, all that nonsense. But I'm telling you, I really do. I think that's something.
I think it came down to Dubas wanting more power. And Shanahan's like, no, we had a perfect arrangement. Now, what I don't understand right now, you just brought it up. I'm going to say Jim Treliving, like the pizza guy 100 times. It's Brad's dad, by the way, so I'm not that far off.
Right.
Brad Treliving, he's 53 years old, 53 or 54. So yes, he's been around the block, but he's only really run one team, the Calgary Flames. He ran them for a while, but it's not like he has this extensive Jim Rutherford type resume where he's just dealt with or any other of those GMs who have been recycled throughout the league over and over and over again. He's still not a fresh face GM, but he's basically coming from one situation. So I do wonder how much autonomy he's going to have, or if this hiring is based on Shanahan is like, you and I are going to work hand in hand. And that's my guess. He's not going to say, I'm going to boss you around and I'm not going to let you do anything that you want to do, but we are going to work together in this position and you have to be okay with that. Otherwise, I just don't think that this happens. I really don't. And considering his history, Treliving has made some interesting moves with the Flames. And I'm guessing he's done that on his own for the most part. I don't know. So it will be interesting, the adjustment there of having, as you just mentioned, Ryan, a more mature person, 53, 54 years of age, who's coming in and has run a team for, I think, was it 9 years with the Flames? He's been there for a while.
Yep.
So, and I don't think he's going to be willing to be, I wouldn't be willing to take orders when I haven't had to before. So we'll see how it works out.
The only way it's going to work is if they get along. I'm telling you, is if they get along. And I know Brad Treliving made a lot of moves in Calgary because he talked to Daryl Sutter. They were on great terms and they really liked each other. And I'm totally kidding. They absolutely couldn't stand each other.
But his coaching hiring is so weird.
I know.
If you look last thing, and then I'm going to let you can run with it. I like what he's done draft wise, and I like a lot of the trades that he's made in Calgary, especially on the blue line. He's done some really interesting things. I think the way that he handled the grenade last summer with losing Johnny Gaudreau and dealing with Matthew Tkachuk telling him, I'm out of here. I think the way he dealt with that was first class, and he couldn't have done a better job. His coaching hirings, Glenn Gullitson, do you remember Bill Peters, that fiasco?
Yeah.
And then he hired Daryl Sutter.
Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe listen to Shanahan about your next coaching hiring because it's not a, that's not a great resume. Draft wise, fantastic. Trading wise, interesting and pretty cool. But coaching hirings, holy guacamole. Go ahead.
We'll see. He's been successful. Toronto needs that. And Austin Matthews front and center, you know, on the list of things that he has to do and talk to extension.
Does he trade one?
I think he certainly entertains the idea. I absolutely do. I don't know which one, but I do think that he will look at four and think, who do I? And if there's a trade that makes great sense, he'll go ahead and do it. He's not afraid to do that. I think that's what Toronto needs. The Nashville Predators needed a new head coach. It's Andrew Brunette. Barry Trotz, the GM of the team, of course, spoke about the new hire recently.
There were a few key things I was looking for coming out of this period. One was getting back to the pillars of the Predator way. And another would be to play an entertaining offensive brand of hockey with our fans, could enjoy watching the excitement because, after all, we're in the winning and the entertainment business. Upon weighing all our options, three candidates arose through that whole process. As we went further down that path, it became clear to me that Andrew was the best man to lead this team forward.
So I burst out laughing. I heard this,
not surprised.
Driving my car yesterday.
That's not you. You don't just burst out laughing.
I was by myself. So if you were watching me, everybody would have been wondering what's wrong with that woman over there.
Mm-hmm.
So Barry Trotz is now, you know, let me regroup.
Deep breath.
Barry Trotz is now pushing for his team to be entertaining and offensive minded. So he's hiring a run-and-gun coach. Barry Trotz, who coached.
Yep.
The last year he coached a Nashville Predators team, I think it was 13-14, nobody cracked 60 points.
Yeah.
Not a single player.
People can change.
Barry Trotz is respected and acknowledged for being a defensive-minded coach, first and foremost. Maybe he's the top of his class in that discussion. And now he's flipping it? He's a GM now, so he's flipping the script hiring a run-and-gun coach?
Because that's not the way the NHL works anymore. The way the NHL does not work anymore in a defensive style of play. It doesn't. If it did work, then scoring wouldn't be up every year.
So you're saying the Leopard can change his spots?
Absolutely.
He just said so.
Absolutely.
He just said so. Anyway,
absolutely.
I like the hire. Andrew Brunette deserves to be a head coach in this league after what he accomplished on the fly with the Panthers last
year. Phenomenal.
Playoffs weren't so phenomenal up until that point. But he deserves another shot. I like him going back home to where he played. Mm-hmm. I know the relationship with him and Trotz spans more than 30 years, so I think that's very interesting. The fact he still calls David Poile Mr. Poile. Right. Hockey. Oh, man. You guys are like near the same age. You're both adults.
Respect.
Sure. Okay. Right. He's not 18. Anyway, I like the hire a lot. I think they did John Hines a little dirty. I think they maybe could have let him go a little bit earlier than this, but it looks like he's still going to have a future. We're already hearing that the Rangers are thinking about talking to John Hines if they haven't already. So we'll see.
Gerard Gallant in the mix as well when it comes to the Rangers and all those guys. So you said, John, you don't think they handle it well with John Hines? They should have done something sooner? Is that what you think?
They didn't make the playoffs almost seven weeks ago.
Okay.
Fire him. If you're not, and I know what we wanted to see. So this is the whole, if you can't get the guy you love the one you're with thing, which is just, first of all, a lousy song and also just a lousy philosophy. So they were going to settle for John Hines if they didn't get the guy they wanted. And they came out and said that. So they were going to settle for second best. Yeah. So now they basically told the entire league that, you know, he's okay, but he's not that great, but we would have stuck with him anyways. And now he has to find a job, whereas he could have started looking for a job 6 weeks ago. I don't know. Not my style.
I'm with you with that. So leads me to ask you too, whenever the Leafs do fire Keefe, or if they do, should they have done that before they brought in a GM? We'll talk about that if they do.
No, okay. He's just been hired.
So you wouldn't have an issue with that. Yeah.
No, but they better do it soon. Okay. So they're on the clock now.
I'm just saying, yeah, if it takes a longer time, then we'll have
If he is not named, if they don't come behind, say Sheldon Keefe is our coach for 2023-24 or fire soon. Him in, yeah. I'm talking a handful of days, Ryan, they've got to poop or get off the pot here. That's only fair.
No, I'm with you. Speaking of the Leafs, they lost a pretty good one. Capitals naming Spencer Carberry their new head coach back on Tuesday. Looks like he's getting a four-year contract. He was serving as an assistant with Toronto, ran the power play, and the Toronto power play has been one of the best power plays in recent years. And kind of a neat thing, too. You come full circle. You mentioned the relationship that Trotz and Brunette have and that they had. They met when Brunette was 19. And as you said, 30 years it spans. He's 49 now. Same kind of thing with Carberry. He's going back now to an organization where he coached for their affiliates in the ECHL, the AHL. I like this hire. I do. I don't mind at all when assistants get a chance. I don't like seeing guys like 55, 60, 60 some odd year old getting a shot. I think this is what the Capitals need. Capitals and the Penguins, to me, are the two teams that needed to make some moves. They're old. They didn't make it in. Penguins certainly blew their chance when they lost to the Blackhawks in that one game. And thanks, by the way, the Panthers are thanking them for that one. But I like this one. I do. And I think this is the right change for Washington.
I will always favor, especially in the NHL, but in most professional leagues, now I will favor smart and young over old and recycled.
100%.
I think we need a fresh perspective. I'm tired of the same old guard coming in, coming out, coming in, coming out. He's 41 years old. That's fantastic. Yep. Sounds good to me. It's so interesting. I'm a big soccer fan, as you know, and I watch a lot of European football. Mm-hmm. And that's a league where there's player managers. So the manager of the team, Gianluca Vialli, is one of the most famous ones from the 90s for Chelsea. He played on the team and he managed the team. Yep. This is just so foreign to us over here. And I'm not asking the NHL to start. Sidney Crosby should be the coach, head coach of the Pittsburgh Penguins. That's not what I'm suggesting. But he's obviously on par of the same age. Right. So it's okay to work for somebody who might even be younger than you. That's okay. Because it's an issue of respect. If they're a great leader, I don't care that Alex Ovechkin is 3 years younger than Carberry. Who cares? I work for younger people. No. You work for younger people. No. I have a great deal of respect for a lot of people that I've worked for and continue to work for who are significantly younger than me. Sure. It's about trust. It's about respect. And it's about leadership. And if Carberry's the right guy, he needs to sit down with Ovi. It's been Ovi's team a lot longer than it's been his. Yep. They need to have some conversation there. Absolutely. But some fresh ideas. Some fresh ideas. And also he gets to coach a power play specialist coach gets to be the head coach of a team with one of the best power play performers in recent history. And I think that's a lot of fun.
Okay. So let me ask you this then. The first practice they have to work in the power play. You and I can run that power play at practice.
You go, Ovi, you stand over there.
That's it. That's it.
Right. Is Carlson healthy? You stand over there.
Yep.
We're good.
Yep. Okay. Let's do 5-on-5 rushes and we'll see you tomorrow.
Right.
I didn't realize this, and maybe I saw it at the end of the season, but I forgot the Capitals lost 440 man games to injury last season.
Oh, it was there. If they that were not is, top of the table, they oh should my be goodness. Close.
That yes. is a ton. That is a ton. And Ted Lyons did say, he promised Ovechkin, we're going to keep trying to get cups. First time in a decade they didn't make the postseason. So I like the hire. I like the young. I've always thought about that when it comes to hockey, and there should be more of that in the NHL. Okay, we're out of time. So game one coming up on Saturday. Again, you predict it's going to go the distance, the Panthers in seven, and I am going very bold and going the
Vegas in five.
In five. What's so funny?
Just, it is bold. I like it.
Why not? Pucks and Seven, we are available wherever you get your podcasts, also on the SiriusXM app. Follow us on Twitter at Ryan M. Payton, at Victoria Mattiash, and we will catch you next time. Game one? We'll probably do one after game one on Saturday at some point early on next week, and we'll go from there, see what's happening between Vegas and the Florida Panthers. Enjoy game one on Saturday. We'll talk to you soon.
This has been Pucks and Seven, available on the SiriusXM app and wherever you get your podcasts.